Fred Film Radio, Venice Film Festival, Italy.
Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider. I'm Laura Della Corte, and we are here with the director Isabella Carbonell and the main actors of Dogborn, Silvana Imame, Philip Oros, and it's the section International Critics Week. How are you?
Very good, thank you.
Great, thank you.
Yeah.
All good.
Okay. First question. I've been a lover of the soundtrack, so who I have to thank for that?
Well, the composer was actually Silvana's, one of the producers that Silvana has worked with, so it's completely thanks to Silvana that that happened, because you introduced us. Do you want to mention who he is?
Oh, yeah. Nils, his name is Nils Nisch. So, yeah.
That's his name. I mean, it's very powerful. I also had, you know, to find the song on Spotify, so I'm listening it like on repeating all for 3 days, something like that. The scene where he is dancing with the little girl.
That's not the composer though.
What song is that though?
It's called.
I can say it.
It's better that you say it rather than I say something completely wrong. But it's a favorite song of mine. It's so beautiful, and I'm so honored that we got to use it.
Yeah, it's by a lower dance and it's real thing.
Oh, you mean that one?
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
That song is a song that I've been playing and listening to for like years, and envisioning that scene with the two of them dancing. Mm-hmm. So that we got to use it was amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Also, that's the produced soundtrack by Nish, and then there's also songs that you've selected.
Exactly.
So it's both, you know, very powerful. So excuse me for this fungal side, but I have to say that. Mm-hmm. And I would like to ask about the movie. You know, you are showing how far people can go in order to survive, but not only that, because you have to choose between, you know, moral values, moral choices, and you did this job very well. I was impressed by several different kind of scene. From the beginning, when you two have, you know, this particular affection, this particular relationship, and we see you sleeping side by side, and then when you start to work, the split is seen even when you are sleeping, because you sleep on different side then. And I would like to ask you how it was, you know, to represent this story and to tell this kind of story.
Mm. You wanna start?
Well, sure. I think it was very important for the movie, since the characters were twins and were each other's only family. It was important for it to work that we actually had a connection, because we didn't know each other prior to meeting for this film. So, in preparation for the shoot, we did spend a lot of time together, just hanging out, getting to know each other, but also doing like different weird acting exercises together. Mm-hmm. And and in the process, we really like became very good friends. Like, I love Silvana. Mm-hmm.
And it's really. I mean, this is my first time acting, so it was really like an experience to kind of start working with someone that you know, become really fond of, and you're like, wow, I love you. it was very special, and just like you said, very important for the film too. But I think that I didn't think about it when we hung out, mm-hmm. that like this is good for the film. It was just really like real emotions, and especially that scene when we're sleeping next to each other and I'm telling him the story about how he was born and everything. That was just I really felt that. I don't know, it was very sentimental for me. I've never had a brother, so
it was kind of like we didn't have to act the relationship.
Yeah, we. You know? Yeah, but it's like really.
Yeah.
You have a brother now.
Yep. Yeah. 100%.
At the very beginning, I have to check if you were twins in real life or not, because even the scenes that, you know, the way she put the scenes to so close to your face to, you know, enhance some kind of gestures of your hands. that makes you think you are so similar in some way, even if you are a character, opposite character, because actually he says only no to the girl, and he said very little during the film, but you are very, you know, very empathetic, very profound. And my curiosity was, how it was hard for you to choose this kind of story, because, you know, there is so much, you know, despair, ambition on one side, but then there is like a turning point. And so I would like to see where this idea came from, and, you know.
Yeah, it wasn't hard for me to choose this theme. It was the easiest thing in the world because I'm so passionate about it. What was hard was more trying to sell it to people, because people are kind of tired of, they don't want to watch a depressing trafficking movie, basically, which I kind of understand. But for me personally, it was very easy to marry these two passions of mine, filmmaking and violence against women and children and so on. So for me, it was never hard. It was harder just to get people on board.
Okay.
Not these two. But just, you know, getting other people involved and believing that this would be something different, rather than just a descent into something really horrible and then the end. That there would be hope and that there would be a plot. It's also plot-driven. But choosing the theme and getting immersed into that was never hard. That was the most obvious thing in the world to me.
And what do you think about, you know, the first time you got on set? Actually, I thought she has already some experience because she's, you know, very, very strong. She has a character that it is not so simple to represent. And at a certain point when she was walking behind a wall with some kind of lion on the screen, I thought she was some kind, you know, representation of herself, because that's the point where the film, you know, change in tone, and that's what you said, that is some kind of hope and rebellion against this situation that he started when, you know, he kept the key to tell her, don't do that, it's wrong.
Exactly.
Yeah, can you tell me what, you know, the process of changing the
whole
the feeling?
Yeah, I mean, you know, to be honest, I remember that we spoke a lot with me and Philip spoke a lot about, like, I had, again, it was my first time, so he was really my support through all of this, in the sense that in some scenes I was like, how am I supposed to do this? And then he was like, okay, but for example, create a story about sister. And then we did it together. We created a story, a backstory of sister and brother. And that really helped me. Like, I could really, really lean on, yeah, the brother. And I just kind of fed off of what you did on set, which made it really, yeah, well, much easier for me, of course. So, I mean, I don't know how I would have done it if he wasn't so good at also instructing me. Yeah, I mean, of course, Isabella too, very like, it was very concrete directions. No, how do you say?
Directions.
But like in the scene, I could really just like, okay, I don't want him to be sad, like, so now I have to do this because I need to make him happy. And yeah, I just fed off of his reactions, and
that's how it should be.
Yeah, I feel the same way, that I was just like reacting to you as well all the time.
So that's, yeah,
that's a dream for a director, to have that. So authentic. Like, it's just, yeah, yeah, pure gold.
Like, it really was.
It was some kind of natural. Flowing.
I mean, I think for me, it's hard to not do things that I'm not, that I don't feel in my body. If I don't feel it, I can't do it, really. Thanks to the script, and I really loved it, and that's why I could do it. I mean, So.
And what about the relationship with the other girl on set, and in particular when you there is the scene when you gave your jacket to her, and it's like you're giving her
power.
Yeah,
yeah,
some kind of power. Yeah,
yeah, that was also kind of a how do you say
turning point?
Yeah, between in their relationship and. Or they didn't have a relationship, really. They were. Yeah.
She was very upset because you yes. did some kind of joke, and that.
Yes, she became the yeah. boss, basically, yeah. and yeah. I had to kind of step back. And I think sister also wanted that, especially when brother also takes the. How do you say?
The lead. When he takes over the steering wheel.
Yeah. The driver's seat.
Yeah, exactly.
Literally and figuratively.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Probably because she's had to be strong for so long. Mm. Maybe it's a relief for her when somebody else can take the reins for a bit. You know?
Couldn't have said it better myself. She gets to exhale.
Yeah.
And Emma, who plays Yubi, the character you're talking about, did such an incredible job with it, too. Like, she did so much with her presence and that character in those circumstances. The way she does that little speech responding to the joke is just... You know.
Yeah, it's like you can't say anything.
Yeah,
like it's okay. Yeah. Now we know who's the boss.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we were all blown away by Emma, honestly. We all knew she was going to be good. I mean, I knew she was going to be good, but I mean, it's unbelievable that she's never been in front of the camera before. It's almost like impossible to believe. She nailed the first take every time as well. Shout out to Emma. She's just a star.
Yeah. Emma Lou.
Yeah.
And in the end, I would like to ask what you're expecting the audience to, you know, to perceive from the movie, if you have any expectation, or, you know, if you want to give some kind of key or lecture of it.
Do you want to say something, or...?
You can talk everybody.
I could say that I feel like what happens in the movie is all these characters, the four main characters especially maybe, what happens is their morals clash with their circumstances, and they all respond and act on that in different ways. Like, brother is not, he doesn't really take action that much, he does it in his own way, and sister tries to power through and get them out of the situation, but Emma's character Yubi is the one who is actually just like cuts through all the bullshit and acts on what she feels is right, you know? And I guess I would say something about that, stirring the audience's morals and like thinking about what they think is right and wrong, and hopefully provoking people to some kind of action, whether that's donating to what do you say?
Organizations
that work with these issues, or even questioning, you know, people in your surroundings. Like, this is such a common problem. That's the point of the movie. This happens right next door all the time, you know? So maybe hopefully some people will be ashamed and
question their life choices.
And just think about what the fuck is going on, what are you doing, you know?
God, I could not have said that better myself. Totally backing that up, 100%. Beautiful. So lovely to hear it from you. And I think that I read something yesterday where someone who apparently liked the film said that it was heartbreaking and terrifying. And I thought, that's great. That is great, because I want it to be terrifying to a certain extent, of course, but and you know, exciting in a terrifying way, but ultimately it has to be heartbreaking. We have to care about these people. We have to care about these characters. So I guess that combination for some reason sounded really good to me. Heartbreaking and terrifying. But obviously I don't want it to be to an extent where you just turn it off. But still, I got excited when I read that.
Yeah, that's good. That's a visceral response.
Yeah, right? Right? Yeah. Like they felt something.
Yeah.
So I guess we want people to feel something, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
That's
really feel something.
Simply put, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. My, if I can say, my, you know, moving scene was when we see the drawings of the little girl. That was so hard to watch. Because, I mean, she doesn't let out too much, and it seems like nothing happened at the center point, but those drawings are the proof that something had to happen, so... that was really hard, you know, to understand. And I would like to, you know, I think we have the last question, like, to ask you if you have, you know, done some kind of research, you know, about this kind of stories, because What it makes me think was, you know, there are a lot of sites about porn, pornography and so on, and I was wondering if there are, you know, sections like that with this kind of, because with the fascinating coming from the Asia, the
it's
Asian,
huge, it's global. Huge.
So I was wondering if this thing is getting even worse right now.
I don't know if it's getting worse, but I do know that it's a huge cultural thing that is very accepted to over-sexualize East Asian schoolgirls. And it's completely, like, no one is questioning it. We see it in normal TV shows that are for, like, families and kids. It's completely normalized and accepted to sexualize children. And no one is questioning it. And it's been pissing me off for years. And that's why I knew I wanted it in the film. Because it just, it disgusts me that it's so accepted. It's not just within porn. It's within just our popular culture. No one does seem to question it. I don't understand it. So that's why it was very important to include it, but also not keep these two girls one-dimensional, that they get to step out of that and be something more, because otherwise I'm just doing the same thing, right? Yeah. So that was something that was very important to me, yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much, you've been very kind. So this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider, and Laura De La Corte. Thank you.
Thank you.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.